In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parsonage garden has changed a lot in the 7 and a bit years we've been here. Year by year it has been transformed from being meadow-like into something more approaching a garden. Although it likes to go back to its natural ways if it's ever left for a while, as the recent rapid influx in cow parsley during May has shown. Prolonged heavy pruning has revealed things that have been happily growing away without any tending, although completely hidden from view. It's always a surprise finding something new in the garden that's just been rediscovered. Even after 7 years, it still occasionally happens. Looking back at the photos when we moved in, the pile of earth that was an homage to World War II, replete with builder's rubble, bits of furniture, sundry floor coverings, that has become an eclectic border. In this case, it's such a large area that literally whatever plant was offered was planted. And then we prayed for divine aesthetic intervention. Many things have been planted. Most flourished and became established. And the odd thing has receded itself to enormous effect, with the exception of cabbages, which the caterpillars absolutely loved. But the main ethos of plant, plant, and keep on planting has sustained. We've now got as far as having an eco part of the garden with predominantly wild flowers. And it would appear that things just like to grow. It's not a big step to paraphrase Jesus and say that the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. Jesus uses this phrase as for the disciples and many others, trying to understand what Jesus calls the kingdom is just too far beyond our imagining. But Jesus is the Son of God, so can explain what it's like. It's why he uses parables. They're here to explain to the faithful, to deepen our faith, to help us hear clearly. In the Gospel from Mark for today, he sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. The thing is, as Ecclesiastes 3 says, everything has a season. The thing we need to remember is that people are ready to receive the gospel when the Holy Spirit works on them. And it's folly outside of that time. We're called to plant, plant, and plant again, so that signs of the kingdom will be available at the right time. We can't be certain when that might be in a post-pandemic world, but we have to help with keeping the story alive by using our own words, our own actions, and our own prayers. Or to put it simply, by the way we live and by what we value most highly. The startling thing is that God is written across all lives if people are prepared to look and see. This is the seed sprouting and growing whilst people sleep. For me, it happened between 13 to 26 when God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were alien concepts to me. But seeds had been planted long before that time that grew silently in the hedonism. And it's now our turn to be the gardeners. So don't despair if nothing seems to be happening. My mother certainly did of me. During those formative years, just continue in planting, planting and planting again for the kingdom. We may not see the harvest, but others will. Keep on praying. Keep on doing random acts of kindness. As the epistle for today says in the second letter to the Corinthians, for our life is a matter of faith, not sight. Let's be honest, this sort of thing is folly to those who don't follow Jesus. It was at the time and it is now. But we all have those God incidences when things just happen for a reason. It's just that little nudge where God is saying, see, I'm still around doing things in the background. I thought I'd let you know again. And God really does it for everyone. With the mustard seed, people would have said Jesus had got it wrong. God is powerful. God is like the cedars of Lebanon, not an annual bush, which, whilst big, actually wasn't very good at supporting birds. But God is taking the smallest, the frailest thing or person, and making something majestic from it. Because God's kingdom, the one we access through the death and resurrection of Jesus, is a kingdom of faith. It does not need direct proof. And if this were possible, how could it be transcendent and divine? It's knowing we're called because God loves us. It's knowing we can know God through Jesus. It's knowing that we are called into the kingdom if we'll acknowledge it. Remember this. When people choose to withdraw far from a fire, the fire continues to give warmth, but they grow cold. When people choose to withdraw far from the light continues to be bright in itself. But they are in darkness. And this is also the case when people withdraw from God. Douglas Adams said, the one who wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I have ended up where I needed to be. And I think that's a message for all Christians. If as followers of Christ we plant and plant again, this will be true in many lives. The thing is, the kingdom of God is like a congregation ruled by the love of Christ, who went out from church and planted and planted again. Amen.
Of the needy, Christ was born. amazing. The Diamond Jubilee service at St Paul's Cathedral must have been particularly important to Her Majesty the Queen, as she remembered her promises and trust in God. But one of the hymns sung during that service, we're going to sing now, O Praise Ye the Lord.